The Packers face the AFC's best team on Sunday when they host the New England Patriots. Will Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski be able to do damage against the Packers defense, or will Aaron Rodgers and the high-flying Packers offense save them? We'll find out with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snow, and along with Alex Talich, we're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a game this weekend against the New England Patriots. But before we do that, we'll take one last look back at that win over the Minnesota Vikings. To do that, we have joining us on the phone, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com.
Expert interview.
Nathan, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing well. How about you?
Very good. Glad you could join us as usual right here before Thanksgiving. But let's talk about this past Packers game. I want to know about running back Eddie Lacy and his amazing performance. Where does that rank against the best games by NFL running backs this season?
I looked through all of our weeks, and to this point, Lacy's game was the best game a running back's had this season. It was really similar to Randall Cobb last week in that it wasn't any single big play that made him have a good game. It was consistent good play after good play after good play. He was doing a nice job making cuts, getting yards while he was getting contacted. He was forcing missed tackles like he usually does. And all of that resulted in a lot of first downs running the ball. Part of what made his game so good as well is it was a complete game in many phases of the game. He did a nice job catching the ball, which resulted in the one touchdown. And then probably the most underrated part of his play is his pass blocking. He stayed in to pass block 9 times. And in this game, as well as every other game, he has been a lot of single pressure all year. So that's very impressive for a running back to do. So over these past few weeks as well, he's been the best running back in the NFL.
There you go. Best game of the season by any NFL running back, according to Pro Football Focus. And, of course, that last drive of the game to milk the clock and get the Packers 2 first downs was quite amazing, too. You know, one of the guys blocking for him, it sure seemed like a gritty performance from TJ Lang at right guard after exiting the game and then coming back. How would you say TJ Lang did?
TJ Lang, he had a very good game like he's been having these past few games. He allowed just one pressure in the past game. So when a guard is only allowing one pressure, that's a good game in pass protection. In the run game, he did allow a couple of good plays by the Vikings defensive tackles, resulting in Lacy getting tackled a little earlier than you'd like. But then he also had a few very nice blocks in the run game. Typically, his good blocks were coming down at the second level, typically blocking Chad Greenway, so that was opening up holes for Lacy on those plays. So due to his consistent good games, he's also someone that, if you're making your Pro Bowl ballots now, there's a very good case for both him and Sitton to make the Pro Bowl this year.
Rather remarkable seeing what both those guys have to do and you know, these injuries that have plagued them now for several weeks. So really good play there. From the good to the bad, offensive lineman David Bakhtiari graded out as the lowest Packers player by Pro Football Focus for the Vikings game. What led to his low grade?
Yeah, a lot of that had to do with Everson Griffin, who always lines up at the defensive right end outside of a couple plays here and there. And he's been playing at an all-pro level recently. This was actually Griffin's worst game over the past couple weeks, but it was still pretty good out of him. David's big problem is he had 2 offensive holding penalties, which is a problem. He allowed 3 pressures, although one of them was called back due to penalty. And then in the run game, there were a few plays where a Griffin was getting to the inside of him or Trey Greenway as well. So David typically hasn't graded well in run blocking, and this game was just a little worse than usual. And then typically we see a little better out of him in pass protection, and allowing three pressures is a little more than we typically see out of him.
Another guy that sure seemed to struggle was wide receiver Davante Adams. He had a rough outing. Is he kind of coming back to earth after a good early start to the season?
Yeah, I think his play hasn't been as impressive recently. In this game, in large part, his poor grade was due to the penalty that was caught on him, an illegal block there. He did have a decent 10-yard catch in the game. But you would expect more than just one 10-yard catch out of someone running that many pass routes that he did. Part of the problem is he's just been a non-factor. He hasn't been hurting the team too much. Typically, when a wide receiver is doing really bad, he's dropping a lot of passes. And Adams hasn't done that since his first game. So really, he's just been basically a non-factor, which hasn't really been a problem with how good Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, and any place he has been playing. But I wouldn't be surprised if Adams is targeted more, that he'd be able to be a productive receiver again. The Packers just really haven't needed him to, and I can't really blame him when the Packers have those other options always on the field.
We're talking to Pro Football Focus's Nathan Yonke here at Cheesehead TV, Railbird Central, on a Wednesday morning. Nathan, on the defensive side of the football, defensive lineman Josh Boyd graded out as the best Packers defender by Pro Football Focus. What did he do so well?
He basically had a few nice plays throughout the game. Typically getting the best of it, the Vikings right tackle, Phil Lothal, who's now out for the year. But Boyd on one play got outside of Lothal on a run to the outside and then was able to tackle the running back for no gain. There was another running back screen that Boyd was able to recognize it, make a tackle for a loss on that play. So those are two big plays where he basically single-handedly stopped the Vikings there. He typically doesn't add too much as a pass rusher, but in this game he was able to contribute a little bit there, which was another positive for him. And then outside of that, there were a couple negative plays where the offensive line was successfully able to block Boyd. But then another couple of plays where Boyd got the best of the Vikings offensive line. And while he didn't end up making the tackles on those plays, it still made the Vikings running back's life more difficult.
Good play from Josh Boyd of late. And I encourage our listeners to read the analysis from our own Zach Cruz here at Cheesehead TV with an article on Josh Boyd published yesterday. Check it out on our blog. Nathan, though, Mike Neal played his biggest role of the season with Nick Perry out with an injury, but he sure didn't make much of an impact. How would you assess Neal's performance this past Sunday?
Yeah, it wasn't a strong performance out of him. One of his biggest problems is he was penalized twice, which in our grading system is never a good thing. He typically hasn't made much of an impact in the run game, and that remains for him in this game. As a pass rusher, he did have a hit and a hurry, as well as two more pressures on plays that were called back due to penalty. So he did have a few good plays as a pass rusher. You would just expect a little bit more out of an outside edge rusher when they have 36 pass rushes. So wasn't a strong game out of Neal, which he hasn't had too many strong games this season. I personally think he would be better suited to remain as an interior pass rusher and not so much at the outside linebacker role. But we'll see what he does going forward for the Packers.
Yeah, they kind of needed him there with the Perry injury, but I tend to agree. Brad Jones took over for A.J. Hawk in the dime package this past week, and now I'm kind of concerned about the inside linebackers maybe being asked to cover Rob Gronkowski this upcoming week. So, Nathan, who's the better player in coverage between the two, Brad Jones, A.J. Hawk? Do they stand a chance of covering a guy like Rob Gronkowski?
First off, I think Hawk is the better player in coverage. So far this season, he's had three passes defended, which is tied for second most among all of the middle and inside linebackers in the league. So coverage is actually Hawk's strong point, in my opinion. My best guess for why Brad Jones would be in there in the dime defense is Jones is a better pass rusher, and then that gives the Packers more options when it comes to blitz packages in the dime defense. And Jones has more experience as a pass rusher and typically gets more pressure. And so I think that might be why Jones could be in there in the dime defense. I'm just throwing out a guess there. But then looking ahead to this upcoming game with Gronkowski, I know a few weeks back when the Packers were facing Jimmy Graham, it was very often Micah Hyde lining up against Graham. So I wouldn't be at all surprised that we see a lot of Hyde against Gronkowski in this game. So the Packers inside linebackers don't have to worry about Gronkowski as much.
Very well could be, but when you saw A.J. Hawk, it was one of the first plays of the game there, trailing in coverage against the Minnesota Vikings. Boy, he sure looks slow, but I'm not sure what the Packers can do there. Hopefully, Micah Hyde will make up for their deficiencies. This past week, it seemed as if the Packers' secondary could have fared worse had Teddy Bridgewater not overthrown a few receivers and a couple players not dropped a few balls. But who is at fault the most in the Packers' secondary against the Vikings?
Yeah, I think your assessment is right there. Bridgewater did have two players who dropped passes on him, a few overthrows as well. It didn't seem like looking through all of the defensive backs that there was anyone that particularly benefited from these more than others. It just seemed like each defensive back got lucky on one throw, and either the quarterback or the receiver messed up the play for the Vikings. If I had to pinpoint one player, Sam Shields was graded negatively in this game. It wasn't his best game in coverage, but it also wasn't too terribly bad. So even though he had a negative grade, I'm not overly concerned about him. While on the subject of defensive backs, it's worth noting that both of the Packers safeties graded positively in this game. So it was both of their one of their better games so far this season.
Yeah, which is a nice development considering the week before against the Eagles, they really didn't have too great of a game. Nathan, give us a preview of the New England Patriots, including why they seem to have so much success running the football no matter who's lining up back there.
I actually don't think the Patriots have had too much success recently running the football. Last week against the Lions, their two backs had 90 yards on 20 carries. A lot of that was two longer runs, which accounted for 56 yards. But on the other 18 carries, they were averaging less than 2 yards per carry. And then 3 games ago against the Broncos, they were just averaging 2.6 yards per carry. So recently, it's really been Jonas Gray's excellent game against the Colts, who aren't great in run defense. But overall, Patriots do have an above-average run game. Their offensive line has been about average in run blocking, and the running backs have been decent as well. So that is something to watch out for. I'd probably be more concerned about their pass game, as Rob Gronkowski has been making a legitimate case for MVP or at least Offensive Player of the Year. And then Tom Brady, especially these past 2 months, has been playing very well. So those players could cause problems for the Packers' defense. In terms of the Patriots' defense, their secondary has been excellent this year. Basically, everyone grading out positively, and some of them, including Revis and their safety, have been playing very well. The duo of linebackers, Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower, both players who are good against the run, against the pass, as pass rushers, and then Vince Wilfork in the middle of the defense has been playing well against the run. So really the Patriots, plenty of good players across the board. If they have one weakness on defense, it's their pass rush isn't great. So Rodgers has an NFL passer rating of 128.5 when he's not under pressure. So it'll be really be a strength against strength thing throughout this game. So you can make a case that these could be the two best teams in the league right now. So it should be a really competitive, enjoyable game to watch.
Well, I hope so. Nathan, we'll talk about it with you next week when you join us on Railbird Central. But as usual, thanks for joining us. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you a week from now.
Thank you. Have a happy Thanksgiving as well, and all your listeners, happy Thanksgiving.
All right, take care. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Great to have him, as we do every Wednesday here on the show during the season. But now it's time for the
Packers News of the Day.
Jordy Nelson is on the cover of Sports Illustrated. That was announced yesterday by the publication. Kudos to the Packers wide receiver, who was very deserving of the recognition. You know, the long history of Sports Illustrated. It's basically, you know, that comes across as like the biggest, you know, news of the week in the entire nation. And to be recognized with that honor appearing on the cover is quite the accomplishment. It shows what you've been able to do, on a big stage. And Jordy Nelson's been doing it for a long time. You know, you have to imagine his career has kind of been built up to this point. For that recognition, maybe not necessarily anything he's done in the past week or any, you know, one game that's really stood out, but, you know, especially over the course of this season, becoming a favored target of Aaron Rodgers and becoming one of the top receivers in the NFL. He's right at the top of several receiving categories, whether it's catches or average yards per catch, touchdowns, all those kind of things. He's right up there among the best wide receivers in the NFL, and you have to imagine he'll be considered for the Pro Bowl very soon. He's very deserving of it. And speaking of the Pro Bowl, we had a chance to talk to Randall Cobb in an exclusive interview with Cheesehead TV this week, and also why there was no episode of Railbird Central on Monday morning. If you haven't seen it yet, the reason why is because I was out of the Railbird Central studios covering a story here for Cheesehead TV, covering the Green Bay Packers talk show circuit. If you haven't seen the article yet, I encourage you to go check it out on the blog. In fact, you could probably see it in the bottom right-hand corner of your screen where we list the most recent articles published. But Randall Cobb is the co-host of one of his talk shows, Inside the Huddle. I was able to go to 4 Packers talk shows in one evening, 4 out of 15 Packers Central-centric talk shows there are on a weekly basis. Covering the team, it's an astronomical number. I can't imagine there's any other NFL market that has that kind of local coverage of the team, in which the Packers players make appearances on local talk shows. Maybe the Dallas Cowboys come close. Be interesting to see what they kind of do down there, although it's kind of hard to it's really hard to, you know, all these different outlets having their own talk shows, kind of hard to like count them all up and figure out when they air and who's on and all those kind of things. Although I've kind of got it down to an art since doing this article. But interesting though, we had a chance to talk to Randall Cobb exclusively on Monday. And I asked him about, you know, being considered for the Pro Bowl. He's tied for the league lead among wide receivers for receiving touchdowns. Randall Cobb has 10 on the season. So you can imagine he's probably getting a lot of consideration for this honor. Not that it'll be easy, because there's a lot of good wide receivers in the NFL, including his own teammate, Jordy Nelson. But asked whether it was a goal for Randall Cobb to do this and earn a Pro Bowl recognition for the first time in his career. Here's what he had to say.
I definitely would say that, you know, as a player and as a teammate, you know, your number one goal is to win Super Bowls and to bring home championships. And I think, you know, as you grow older, you realize how important, you know, those Pro Bowls and those All-Pro pros are too. So that definitely is something that, you know, is on my list, and, you know, hopefully it can be attainable.
Super Bowl comes first, though.
Obviously. I'd rather go to the Super Bowl and miss out on the Pro Bowl.
So that's Randall Cobb talking to Cheesehead TV, an exclusive interview. So very cool. We'll have more from Randall Cobb published on the blog later this week. And of course, you can check that article out on Packers Talk Shows on the blog, already published now. In other news, Packers signed offensive lineman Justin Renfro to the practice squad yesterday, and releasing offensive lineman Rishaw Johnson just 1 week after they signed Johnson. But so a new addition to the Packers, you know, just practice squad, but kind of interesting. This Renfro kid coming out of the University of Miami played defensive tackle in college, both in college, and then he signed as an undrafted free agent with the Arizona Cardinals, spent training camp with them, offseason with them, before being released. And so he was a defensive lineman, and what's happened is he played in the Fall Experimental Football League after being released in training camp. I believe he was a member of the Florida Black Tips, or not Florida. Is it Florida? Anyway, played in the FXFL and switched to the offensive side of the football. And that's where the Packers signed him as an offensive lineman. So it'll be interesting to see if he can make any progress making, you know, a switch to the other side of the football. Maybe that's in his wheelhouse. Maybe it's not. We'll find out. But Packers took a chance on him. So excited to see how that all works out. But, you know, it's the week of Thanksgiving. Not going to have a show on Friday, on Black Friday, as I'll be with family for the holidays. And anyway, kind of wanted to do my analysis now, seeing as we're not going to have a Railbird Central show on Friday. So wanted to give my prediction. And you know, it's going to be tough for this Packers defense to contain Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and whoever they line up at running back. It seems like, you know, whether it's LeGarrette Blount, whoever it is, they seem to have, you know, at least moderate success at the running back position. I think it's remarkable for the amount of guys they, you know, trot in and out of there, at least on a relative basis. They have that amount of success. It's kind of interesting. But, you know, of course, I think, you know, Gronkowski and Brady in the passing game, Julian Edelman is a big target there, a guy they go to a lot. That'll be the key. And I think the key to the game is how does the Packers secondary respond? And, you know, last week, I didn't think they looked very good. It seemed like everybody got beat now and again on a pass play or something like that. Tremont Williams gives up the touchdown. You know, Sam Shields looked like he got lucky a few times, had players not drop balls, or Teddy Bridgewater been a little bit more on target, Sam Shields could have been beat. Morgan Burnett and haha Clinton Dix. Morgan Burnett had a pretty darn good game. Clinton Dix still seems like he has one error every game that seems to hurt him. And thankfully it's not more than that. Which seemed that hurt the Packers' safety position a year ago, where they were routinely beat quite a bit, including Burnett a year ago. But I just looking for more consistency from haha Clinton Dix. You know, I think that's the key to the game, is how do they do? How do they contain this high-scoring Patriots offense that's number one in the NFL in scoring, scores over 30 points a game. And, you know, that's going to be the key to the game. And the Packers favored by 3 points from most of the Las Vegas, you know, books that I looked up. And you know what, folks? I actually see the Packers losing this game. And I hate to say that as a Packers fan. I am going to call for a 31-27 loss for the Green Bay Packers. And you know what? I hope you just don't say, he's, you know, choosing against the Packers just for attention or whatever. Because the stat I want to point out, and I give the prediction, my prediction on every episode of Railbird Central before the game, I am 10-1 straight up this season picking Green Bay Packers games. The only game I wrongly predicted was the season opener when I predicted the Packers to go into Seattle and win, and they lost. I have correctly predicted the next 10 games correctly. Whether losses, wins, I predicted they'd lose at Detroit, they lost. I predicted they'd lose at New Orleans, they lost. So I'm personally on a 10-game winning streak straight up and predicting games. I'm not happy about it. I want to see the Packers win every game, and I'll be cheering for them to win as a Packers fan, podcaster, blogger, whatever. I think it's going to be a close game. I don't see him getting blown out. It certainly wouldn't surprise me if the Packers win. I mean, there's a reason. It's just a 3-point spread, and it's not double digits like it was last week against the Minnesota Vikings. I think it'll be a close game, but I think I think the Packers secondary is going to get beat somehow by Brady, Gronkowski, Edelman, somebody. There's going to be a breakdown or two, and Brady's going to make them look foolish in a crucial moment. That'll be the difference in the game. That's what I see happening. And what's interesting, though, is I think this could perhaps be the last loss of the season for the Packers. I think the schedule sets up very favorably from here on out against teams that, are not, necessarily upper echelon teams, albeit the game against the Lions in the season finale should be really close, although the Lions looking a little bit more vulnerable lately, getting back to this game, though. Yeah, I predict the Packers to score 27 points, which, you think is, three touchdowns and two field goals. And, another key to the game is, what's happening on those two field goals. Were those missed opportunities in the red zone? Could those be chances at, touchdowns instead of field goals? That's a key, too. If the Packers end up getting, five opportunities in the red zone, but only come away with, three touchdowns, that's kind of two missed opportunities to put a lot more points on the board. That can be a difference in the game right there. If instead those field goals are turned into touchdowns, then the Packers can win. So I definitely think, red zone is going to be important. And, can that make up for what is going to be, I think, some Packers struggles on defense? The Packers defense has definitely been playing better since the bye, especially those first two games coming out of the bye, wins against the Bears and the Eagles. They've looked really good. Came back down to earth a little bit last week against the Vikings, although it wasn't a terrible performance. I just think this high-flying Patriots offense, like I said, number one in scoring in the entire NFL, they're going to take a few lumps. But if the secondary can hold up, that would give the Packers a chance. But I am calling for a Packers loss. We will see. So I'm hoping for a Packers win and hoping I will be wrong. But getting back to our last segment of the show here.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers on a Wednesday, first day of practice this week, first day of on-field preparations for the Patriots, I think the thing we're looking for today is to see Nick Perry's progress. Packers linebacker didn't practice a single day a week ago. He has the shoulder injury, missed the Vikings game, and I think the Packers missed him more than maybe people realized. All of a sudden they come out of the bye and they have their two best games defensively pretty much of the year. And I think part of it was having Nick Perry out of the lineup. That's why they struggled in the Vikings game. Perry started those two games right after the bye, the Bears and the Eagles games. Ever since the switch to Clay Matthews at inside linebacker. So I think Perry, they missed him, you know, as we talked about with Nathan Jahnke of Pro Football Focus early in the show. Mike Neal played a bigger role and didn't really step up, so it'd be nice to see Perry take some of those snaps, if, as long as he's healthy, and hopefully he's only going to get better. You know, he struggled so much with injuries his first 2 seasons in the NFL, and you don't want to, you know, have that label as injury prone or anything like that. But you know, it's one game is you know, that's one thing. Now, if you're missing a quarter of the season or more, that's another. And hopefully Nick Perry can just kind of put the shoulder injury behind him and come back. We'll find out. Packers released their first injury report of the week today on Wednesday, so we'll be waiting to see that, as well as some of those other players who are injured, didn't play last week, like tight end Brandon Bostic, defensive back Jarrett Bush. Bostic, will perhaps learn more about him. Wednesday evening, he hosts his own radio talk show on WDUZ Radio in Green Bay. Tune in for that. Maybe Bostic will, you know, shed a little bit more light on his comeback from a hip injury. He too has missed the past 2 games. But it, you know, waiting to see how Eddie Lacy is. You know, he apparently, the fallout from the Vikings game, was ill during the game, and kind of more ill than anybody knew. A little bit of a sickness, they called it. I know head coach Mike McCarthy called it GI issue, gastrointestinal. I don't know if he's got the flu or whatever, but hopefully Eddie Lacy is getting better, and it's nothing too serious. So we'll find out more on Wednesday about the status of the Packers as they get ready for the New England Patriots this upcoming weekend, Week 13. I'm all in for a Packers win, and I hope they make everybody's Thanksgiving holiday a little bit better. But happy Thanksgiving, everyone. That'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you so much for tuning in, as you do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Cheesehead TV. That'll do it. On behalf of Jamie Stone, Alex Halich, I'm Brian Kirvo. On behalf of everybody here at Cheesehead TV, have a happy Thanksgiving weekend. We'll see you next week. We'll be back on Monday, recapping the Patriots game, win or loss, for the Green Bay Packers. So we'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Different Light by Steve Winwood on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.